Welcome to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. South Dakota Public Broadcasting takes an in-depth look at the future of farming in South Dakota. Throughout the month of October, we explore technologies that are radically changing farming practices. We examine innovative responses to variable climate, and we meet the people who are preserving the land, saving the farm, and feeding the planet. Today, we begin by laying the groundwork regarding climate trends in South Dakota. Laura Edwards is the South Dakota State Climatologist, and she's joining us today from the Tom and Danielle Allman Foundation Studio at Northern State University in Aberdeen. Laura, welcome back. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, good morning, Lori.
Tell us a little bit about the Fourth National Climate Assessment. How are we gathering some data about trends in South Dakota in the coming future?
Yeah, the Fourth National Climate Assessment was released last November, and it's an update that they do every few years now on the state of the nation's climate, but not just, you know, trends in temperature and precipitation, but also what are those impacts across the country. And they divide that down into different regions, such as us in the Northern Great Plains. And they also talk about things such as what's happening in agriculture or our water resources or with indigenous peoples and communities. And so they really touch a lot of different aspects of how climate and how a changing climate is affecting us here locally.
All right, let's start with some of those trends first, and then we'll get into some of those challenges and opportunities. Talk about temperature first. How are we sort of seeing this impact the state and the region?
Sure. Yeah. Here in South Dakota, we have seen warming temperatures in general. When we look at an annual basis, you know, it's been a couple degrees over the last century. When you compare the early 1900s to the early 2000s, we have seen warming overall. But most of that warming we see in the winter season. It's not even across all the seasons of the year. And we see the least warming in the summer season, which is kind of interesting because that's our growing season, and for agriculture, that is important. And as we look forward into the future, you know, there's pretty strong consensus that we will continue to see warming temperatures in the coming decades.
And precipitation, it certainly seems like a year, at least in southeast South Dakota, where it felt like it might be on the rise. What is the overall trend?
and you know, this year has kind of shown that in spades, right? Yeah. With a big asterisk on the top of precipitation. But certainly, you know, when we look at the National Climate Assessment, their data is showing that South Dakota is getting wetter faster than most other states in the country, which is really quite incredible. You know, 15 to 20% wetter now than, you know, 60, 70 years ago even. And so, again, though, kind of like temperature, it's not evenly increasing across all the seasons. At least in the recent, you know, several decades, we've seen it more in the spring and the fall season, which I'm sure a lot of our farmers and ranchers can attest to, with all the challenges with both planting in the spring and harvesting in the fall. And a lot of the spring flooding as well that we've seen in the last, you know, 20, 25 years.
Right. So all these things are not spread out evenly. You know, we see their impacts greater at greater times, places, seasons, which makes it a little more difficult to kind of make adjustments, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's really a logistical challenge. But, you know, working with my colleagues at SDSU Extension and with USDA, with their Natural Resources Conservation Service and others, you know, there are some things that farmers and ranchers can do to kind of adapt or make them more resilient to these extremes. And a lot of those farming practices fall under what they call soil health practices, doing things like planting cover crops during the off season in between their cash crop, or reducing the tillage that they do to reduce their potential for soil erosion in these heavy rain events. So, you know, I think we have some strategies already in our pocket that we can pull out, which are a little bit different than kind of our traditional or conventional ways of doing things. But I think it's time to try those out again and try to adopt some of those practices.
Let's talk about some of the challenges and opportunities regarding climate going forward. And let's start with the increasing in precipitation and these heavy kind of rain events. Are there opportunities here for farmers in South Dakota?
I think that's the story with a changing climate here in South Dakota, is that they're both opportunities and challenges. And, you know, in the last few decades, we've been able to take advantage of our increasing precipitation, you know, to improve our yields, to grow different crops such as corn and soybeans, which haven't been grown here historically. And but the challenges that come with that are the potential for flooding, as we've seen just very widespread this year. And the challenges of getting traffic across the fields, you know, with soil moisture just being exceptionally high. But the other thing too, is that we see more rain coming in heavy events. This year is kind of, we've seen heavy events for sure, but we've seen a lot of little events. What we see moving forward is more of our precipitation coming in heavy events. And so that's another kind of question for farming, is how can we better protect our soils from heavy erosion in those heavy events.
And how does it affect the crop then at harvest time as well? If there's, you know, if you said that precipitation is really increased in the fall, does that change the harvest itself and the moisture content of the crop?
Yeah, it does. And that's what we've seen a lot of recent years, including this year, is that the moisture in the grain is still high at harvest time. And that's an added expense to dry it down and get it ready for storage or to ship somewhere. And so that's one of our challenges here, especially in the fall season.
All right. If the crops are growing well and longer, you know, even if they aren't flooded out, it seems like there's also going to be those weeds are going to. I know the thistles in my backyard are doing quite well this season. So how does this impact weeds and pests?
Yeah, that's right. With a longer growing season and, you know, sufficient moisture, we do see a longer weed season, too, and a longer pest season in general. And we see a lot of those pests moving up from the south that are acclimated to that longer growing season, warmer temperatures. And, you know, as I said earlier, our temperatures are warming in the winter. And so that allows overwintering of a lot of these pests and diseases that usually we historically we haven't had to worry about. And so that's one of the challenges, I think, moving forward is being ready for those. You know, and again, our southern neighbors, a lot of times I've dealt with them already. So I think we can just take that knowledge and hopefully adapt it to us in South Dakota.
How about for livestock? When we look at, you know, different precipitation or increasing temperatures, how does that affect livestock in South Dakota?
Yeah, so there's a couple things there in play with livestock. One is what we saw earlier this year with very wet springs and a lot of mud, not great conditions for calving and lambing, where you can get some more disease early on in when they're very, very young animals. And the other thing, too, though, with increased temperatures, especially in that spring season as we transition from the colder temperatures to warmer temperatures, we can see more heat stress with a rapid warm-up during kind of an odd time of year, you know, early in the season. And so I've been working a lot with a couple of our livestock colleagues at SDSU to help address the heat stress and animal health issues that we're seeing with climate as well.
Hmm. Are we seeing issues with drought and, you know, the fire? You know, we haven't been talking about the fire season in the Black Hills hardly at all for the last, you know, several months because of the precipitation we've been seeing this season and last. But that's also on the radar for as the climate changes or as we look at climate trends, what happens in the Black Hills Forest? Are we at risk for drought and forest fire?
Yeah, I think that is true. We still worry about fire. You know, we've been talking so much about our increase in precipitation in rainfall and snowfall, but we are in a highly variable climate, you know, up here in the Northern Plains, and we still will see drought. We still will see heat waves. It's not all just about rainfall, but you know, wet years like this allow all that vegetation to grow, and that's what puts us at risk later of wildland fire. And my colleague Dr. Darren Klebo at the School of Mines is really great at talking about that weather and climate impacts on wildland fire. But you know, that's another kind of nuance in the precipitation story, let's say, is that our general trend is increasing, but we can still see, you know, really rapid drought onset, such as what we saw in 2017 in the spring, a very rapid onset of a very severe drought. And we've seen some other very quick transitions in 2011 from the very wet year and the record Missouri flood that year, transitioning to one in a 50-year to 100-year drought in 2012. And so we still will see, I think, a lot of these ups and downs, which I think is the challenge there. And how can we adapt in a farming economy and culture and lifestyle to these big swings that we will see in both temperature and precipitation?
As we look at, you know, how farmers and producers are really preparing, how they're looking at soil health, how they're looking at just different, as you mentioned, you know, practices, cover crops and reducing tillage. Are there other things, because there's other people who are looking to get into a production that maybe they didn't have before because, you know, what used to be dry is now wet. What used to be, and there might be potential that they haven't seen in certain acres that they're seeing now. How are you sort of advising farmers as they look at trends, and, you know, how far out do they have to sort of look into the crystal ball?
Yeah, and I think a lot of farmers that I have visited with, you know, they're thinking of their generations ahead, you know, their children and their children's children, and they want the land to still be productive decades from now. And I think that's the time horizon they have in the back of their mind. But two, you know, realistically, they're making decisions now on what they're going to do next year already, right? And when it comes to thinking about climate, climate smart agriculture is one of the words I've heard thrown around. When we're thinking about climate smart agriculture, part of it is kind of thinking differently, and it maybe trying some different things. I think technology and some of the precision ag type things can also help a little bit when you're out on the farm, and maybe tailor some of your planting and nutrient and fertilizer decisions to every acre out there. I think those are all useful technologies. But again, we don't have to always reinvent the wheel, and let's try some low-tech things too that maybe don't cost as much, especially in this tough economy that we're dealing with right now.
Give us an idea before we let you go, just a little bit about 2019, because we started there, and let's wrap up with that. How did it fit into, you know, the overall picture as we look at, and I know the year's not over yet, but from what we know now about what we have endured, what's the historical picture?
Yeah, I mean, no question, it's been a very tough year from start to finish, and we're not quite finished yet. And just before this, you know, we heard the Missouri River report on their forecast runoff. You know, we've had unbelievable amount of precipitation out here, and generally kind of relatively cool season in general, which has really slowed things down. You know, looking at the crop reports from yesterday, you know, we're a couple weeks behind of where we typically are, but we're seeing record rainfall already, and it's only, you know, early October, and we still have, you know, almost 3 months to go. Same in the Missouri River. You know, we've already seen, I think, the second highest runoff in the river, and we still have 3 months to go in the year. Mm-hmm. So this has been quite exceptional in many ways, you know, I think we're getting through this. I think next year we still will have a little bit of a challenge, especially fighting some of the weeds and the soil moisture right away in the spring. As you heard, our soil moisture may freeze and lock in till the spring season. So we've seen some wet years like this previously, like 2009, 2010. So I know we can make it through, but it's going to be a tough go.
Laurie Edwards, always a pleasure to have you on the program. Thanks so much for being here.
All right. Thank you, Laurie.